War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Donald J. Trump is the biggest closer and the greatest closer in American history. He closed the deal in 16, and he's going to close this deal. He won on the 3rd. Understand, YouTube, the official, and I want to go back, safe harbor, yes. It was Joe Biden. On Electoral College, which we blew through, safe Electoral College on the 14th, yes. But note to self, YouTube monitors. I think there was a hearing in the United States Senate yesterday. That's what he put out there. And the Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, who's no firebrand, said, "You're a liar." Called another senator. "You lied repeatedly. You're a liar. Everything comes out of your mouth is a lie." When you talk about this Russia hoax regarding the hard drive from hell and Hunter Biden. Okay? Just a stone-cold liar. Russian disinformation. That's all going to be, it's all proven now. It's going to really be proven when the President of the United States puts a special prosecutor on this, as he must do, to look at the Chinese Communist Party infiltration of this. Okay, I want to go now to Peter Navarro. This is very special. Miranda Devine, who's an absolute hammer, wrote this incredible, incredible piece in the New York Post. We're going to get that up. It's on Peter Navarro's new report, The Immaculate Deception. But I got to give the jump in here right after. I just want to read Liz Yore, the Hammer prosecutor from Chicago, sent me this morning. And Liz Yore is not just a hammer, she's brilliant. The Navarro report is the most comprehensive, brilliantly documented, powerfully written narrative of the steal of the century. Oh my God. Let me repeat that. From Liz Yore, former prosecutor in Chicago. The Navarro report is the most comprehensive, brilliantly documented, powerfully written narrative of the steal of the century, the steal of this election. And Liz Yore has been one of our wingmen. She's in the details all over the nation. So when Liz Yore says that, there's no higher compliment, because she does not throw out bouquets every now and again. She's very exacting. Maggie Vandenberg.
I got to say, this report is impressive. And Raheem messaged and said they have an article up on the National Pulse called Theft by a Thousand Cuts. The report, conclusive on election fraud, slams media cover-up. So if our audience wants to check it out,
and this is in links, yes.
They've got this embedded in the article, and you can read just sort of the highlights. It's a 31-page document that outlines basically the fraud across six key battleground states. And I just sort of wanted to highlight and introduce what this report concludes overall. That the patterns of election irregularities observed in this report are so consistent across the six battleground states that they suggest a coordinated strategy to, if not steal the election, then to strategically game the election process. And they go on in such a way as to, you know, swing the ticket for Biden-Harris.
Okay, let me bring in the individual who's done more to support working men. I mean, this is President Trump's go-to guy on the 16 campaign, or very early on, came up with the analysis of the problem with the Chinese Communist Party, what they had done to deindustrialize America. He's been there since the very beginning. And here's the thing. No give up, no back down. You talk about holding the line. This guy's been holding the line for years, okay? The reason we have populist economics, and inside he's fought nonstop to represent American workers, American families in the middle class. And it's just absolutely incredible. A man of incredible bravery, because it's been so easy to quit, so easy to roll over, so easy just to surrender. But this is the people that are involved in this fight now. There's no surrender in them. You can see Rudy Giuliani, John Fredericks, Bernie Kerik, Peter Navarro, Jenna Ellis, right? Maggie Vandenberg. They call us the dead enders. Hey, we're proud of that. That's like calling us deplorables to the 10th power, okay? Because we're never going to stop. And once you read this report's a framing device. It is the immaculate deception, six key dimensions of election irregularities. And it's called the Navarro Report. It's in the New York Post today. Miranda Devine, the great columnist, has a report up there. Other than calling it election irregularities, which is kind of the left-wing term. Okay, I've got to jump here. We got a short commercial break. We're going to return. We're finally going to get Peter Navarro in here. Peter Navarro will join us after the break to go through the immaculate deception. You are over, 'cause we're taking down the street.
Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, this show is ubiquitous throughout the world with millions of viewers every day and 24 million downloads on our podcast. I want to thank John Frederick Radio Network, Real America's Voice, the streaming service of the Trump Revolution, now Dish Channel 219 and Comcast Channel 113, GNews, GTV, and Mandarin throughout the world, blown through the firewall, plus all the diaspora of China. On Rumble, YouTube, we just crossed 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. The show is massive, getting bigger, and the reason is we lay out the receipts every day. I want to turn now to Peter Navarro, the author of The Immaculate Deception, Six Key Dimensions of Election Irregularities. Peter, we got plenty of time here. I want to first off, quickly, give your bona fides. People know you as the fighter that's on Maria Bartiromo and Squawk Box, and you're taking on Chuck Todd over there. But walk through why you particularly are the guy that can do this report. Walk us through that.
All right, I'm going to do that. I want to start. I want to give your listeners and viewers, who are the smartest audience in the world at this point, just the five key takeaways, and I'll walk through that. What we got is a coordinated strategy to stuff the ballot box with Biden votes and destroy Trump ballots, number one. Number two, the number of possible illegal votes dwarfs the alleged Biden victory margins in the six battleground states that are under review. Number three, this is really important, Steve. This is death by a thousand cuts, by six dimensions of these election irregularities rather than a single silver bullet. It's a very complex step. Number four, like Tolstoy's unhappy families, each one of these states, and I'll walk through this for you later, each state is different in how it engineered the theft. And the last thing, Steve, and this day is for me is symbolic because of something that happened today, but the last takeaway is the only thing worse than this theft itself is the self-censoring cover-up by the anti-Trump media, the censoring social media, corporate America, the Republican establishment, and the courts at both the state and federal levels. And what happened today was in trying to get this report out, we had a news wire refusing to put it out because they don't want to hear the truth. That's the five takeaways, Steve. Now, in terms of my bona fides, look, Harvard PhD economist, but also what I did when I was at Harvard and throughout my career was a lot of stuff in regulatory law. So I know my way around court cases as well as economics and statistics, right? So what I did was I basically put on my Harvard hat. I sat, I took a week hold up in my house and basically looked at thousands of affidavits, many of which aren't out in the general public at this point. I looked at the public testimony. I looked at photos. I looked at videos. I looked at press accounts. And by the way, the best coverage is not the New York Times and Washington Post. That's awful coverage. It's things like Raheem Kassam's National Pulse, John Solomon's Just the News, and Steve Bannon's War Room, right? So what I gleaned from that, okay, my approach there was, okay, what do we got? Okay, we got six categories of what we gently call election irregularities, but one of them is outright voter fraud. That's pure theft. A second one is ballot mishandling. The third is these process fouls, like not letting observers in. There's the fourth is the Equal Protection Clause violations, which is like treating Republican voters or observers different from Democrats in a way which stuffs the Biden ballot box. The fifth dimension is all these voting machine irregularities and the Dominion. I mean, that thing stinks to high heaven, but there's two other companies, Agilis and Novus, that are equally implicated in places like Arizona and Nevada. And then finally, you've got all sorts of statistical anomalies, right? So that's kind of the approach I took, Steve. And again, the finding here is just awful.
Okay, let me slow down for a second. Okay, you're not just an economist of the Harvard PhD. You are a tenured faculty member. You're a regulatory economist, and the regulatory economists are somebody that's got to get into the details and how regulation deals with math
and law,
statistics.
And the law, right?
And the law.
I mean, I've published in law journals, right?
So what is it? Because the mainstream media, Seth Meyers and Joe Scarborough, are going to say Peter Navarro's finally put the tinfoil hat on, right? He was a guy, and people can criticize the tariffs. Did they work? Did they not work? Everything like that. But no one's criticized the intellectual background of your work. They've said we don't believe the tariffs work. We think, you know, they hurt workers, all that. But it's been a policy debate on what sides that. Nobody's criticized your math and your analytical abilities of getting things to, of looking at things. What was it when you first look at this? How did you come up with just the way you researched it and looked at it? That this, because this is what hasn't been done by anybody. We say three verticals, but you're saying it's broader. Six key dimensions.
Yeah, it is broader
across six states. How did you was it you going through the affidavits? Was it going you through the mathematical anomalies? What led you to get to the point that there's six key dimensions across these six states?
Well, first of all, if you go to like midnight on election night, what you saw was an election where President Trump had effectively an insurmountable lead in four battleground states, in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. I mean, he was up by 356,000 votes in Georgia, 500,000 in Pennsylvania, 300,000 in Michigan, and over 100,000 in Wisconsin. And when I saw kind of in the middle of the morning, like at the dead of night, these large ballot drops start coming in. And then over time, these huge Trump leads go down to what are very, very slim margins, Steve, okay? Across all of these states, I mean, the margin in Arizona is just 10,000 votes, okay? The ballots in question are over 100,000. In Georgia, it's just 12,000 votes Biden allegedly won by, but there's over 400,000 ballots in question. Nevada, 33,000, it's over 100,000. So when I saw all of these states basically turn the red tide of Trump into this Biden blue, it's like, no, wait a minute. that looks hinky, funky, stinky, right? So I thought that in the days following, we would have an army of lawyers on our side coming out, and a lot of people coming out and exposing all this. And I was frankly shocked by what happened after that. I mean, if it weren't for Bannon's War Room and the National Pulse and Solomon and Real American News, I mean, we wouldn't even be talking about this stuff. So what I did, Steve, was I did my Harvard thing. You know, it's like I went in and did the research, came up with a 31-page, 150-footnote report after reading thousands of documents and over 50 court cases. And this is what I found. And, you know, I mean, if people don't like it out there, it won't be the first time, okay? I mean, I remember back in 2006 when I wrote The Coming China Wars. People said I had tinfoil hat on there, and it's like, you're crazy. It's like, no, China's our friend. And now, you know, in 2020, that book reads like a mild government report, right? I'm not wrong here. You know, that they stole the election from Nixon in 60, and it took like decades before that was even acknowledged. This historically will be acknowledged because it's the greatest theft in American history. And, hey, Steve, if we can't, as a greatest democracy in the world, can't run a free and fair election, all hope is lost. All hope is lost. So we got to get to the bottom of this. The key, I mean, the key action, out of the war room here is we got to get to the bottom of this before January 5th and the Georgians vote and before Inauguration Day. Otherwise, this is going to be an illegitimate Biden presidency and illegal Biden presidency.
Okay, let me go a couple things. Number one, are you prepared to go on CNN with Cuomo, with Anderson Cooper? Are you prepared to go on MSNBC with Ari Melber, with the best minds they've got at these two networks, and go head-to-head, have them go through and do analysis of your report and stand there and defend it, yes or no?
Of course. And over the last 4 years, I've basically been one of the go-to guys in the White House that's willing to go out on CNN and MSNBC and take those people on. And this is solid research based on a mound of evidence. And anybody who says there's no evidence is lying through their teeth to the American people. Anybody who says, well, all the courts have rejected this, haven't understood why these cases have failed in the courts. It's not because of the facts. It's because of politics and procedure. And, it's like we've been failed by everybody, Steve. We've been failed by everybody. Yeah, well, okay, it's a given. Washington Post, New York Times, they're gonna screw us. I get that.
No, but by the way, so Wisconsin, you're starting to see now Wisconsin that the dissenting opinions agree with this. The power of this, and let me just reemphasize, hedge funds all over the world watch this show. They have people watch this show. Producers, news producers all over the world watch this show. Why? They realize on the pandemic we're ahead of things, on the impeachment we're ahead of things, we're always ahead of things. Tomorrow's news today. When you look at this chart that Peter Navarro has on page 2, and if we can get the chart up, or page 2 of the report, right? If you look at the chart, the 6 dimensions, there's not one hedge fund guy I know on the analytics side that does not agree with this. Everybody knows this was stolen. They look at the math, they look at the anomalies, and you've seen Shiva's analysis, Dr. Shiva and these other guys, they Dave Ramaswamy, they look at they all have done this. Peter Navarro has now memorialized this and now put it out for the American people. The first thing that has to happen, knowing the war room, they're asking us right now, you must push this out. I told you yesterday, this is the one you want your neighbors to read. Attach the Miranda Devine op-ed on it, the column. Miranda Devine did a great job of kind of summarizing it. But push it out to your neighbors. First off, go through there and learn. And we're going to think, what I'm thinking of doing is working with Navarro on his free time and actually getting a TED Talk like Steve Cortez, or maybe even have Cortez do it, right? One of these TED Talks of 15 or 20 minutes that goes through the Immaculate Deception, the 6 key dimensions of election, I would say fraud, but Peter Navarro's kind. He says irregularities because he wants to prove it. Peter, can you stay over, do this commercial break, and get Raheem Kassam? And I just want to say one thing as a thank you. When Peter Navarro goes through there and says, Raheem Kassam's National Pulse, John Solomon's Just the News, and The War Room, they are all shows and affiliates of Real America's Voice. And I think the management of Real America's Voice, the entire team at Real America's Voice, has got to be complimented. Day in and day out, and the production team in Denver, and by the way, they crush it and crash it to make sure this show goes, Raheem's shows goes, John Solomon's. They have done yeoman's work in providing facts, and no one's come back and refuted any of the facts we put out, just like didn't refute any of the facts in the pandemic when people laughed in our face. And Real America Voice had our back in launching the pandemic show in mid-January of 2019 or 2020, where people, mainstream media, was laughing at us. And Peter Navarro, remember, it's Peter Navarro's memo that President Trump acted upon in the last week of January when Tony Fauci and Azar and these guys, Mulvaney, were all laughing at him. It's his memo that saved millions of lives and started the quarantine and stopped the traffic from China. It was his memo and mathematical analysis that went to the president. We're going to turn with Peter Navarro in a minute.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
If you're following the inside baseball, you know that DNI and CIA are having a huge blow up right now about this report that's due because of the executive order President Trump put out in 18 to basically make the elections a national security issue. There's now this huge, huge debate. The CIA is slow walking all the aspects of China's involvement in the 2020 election. Forget Russia and forget Iran. They're important. They're bad guys, but they're junior partners to the CCP. Russia's a sideshow and Iran's a sideshow to a sideshow. And I realize all the neocons, no, it's the CCP. Iran and the mullahs don't exist if they don't have CCP cash and the CCP's not buying their oil and CCP's not providing them with arms. Note to self, John Bolton. It's the Chinese Communist Party. 14 years ago, one voice, a Harvard economist, sat there after being there and said, hey, you don't understand something. These people, the Chinese Communist Party, are the mortal enemies of the Chinese people and the mortal enemies of the American people. 14 years ago, he published a book. mocked and ridiculed. And today we're holding up a report that shows how the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated and had access and has been involved in the 2020 election. And ladies and gentlemen, particularly the Biden campaign, embrace the fact that a special prosecutor will be announced to look at the how you're compromised financially by the Chinese Communist Party. Who was that author? Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro. And today he's coming up and he's saying, if we don't sort this out now, between now and January 20th, the Immaculate Deception, over years and years and years, this is a scar that will not heal. Okay, the Democrats talk about unifying the country, what they should do, Joe Scarborough and Seth Meyer, all you running dogs for the establishment, is that Joe Biden's got to step up and say, you know what, we got to sort out what happened in Georgia. We got to sort out what happened in Wisconsin. We got to sort out what happened in Arizona. They don't want to do it because they understand, and you will understand after you read this report, of how they stole it in a coordinated effort. No conspiracy. But there are also no coincidences. Maggie, you got a question for Peter?
Yeah, well, people are really fired up about this report, and they want to know sort of what can they do with this information. They don't want to see this just get swept under the rug and for the media and everyone to continue to ignore it. So I guess our audience wants to know, what can they do to help get this information out there?
Peter Navarro.
The fulcrum that we have to really push here are going to be the state legislators in the battleground states, the courts themselves, and then the media. What we have now, I think, is a signal failure of many, if not most, of our institutions that make America great. I mean, we have essentially instituted self-censorship in this country within our own media, and it's being enforced by corporate America, by the Republican establishment, and by courts, including the Supreme Court, that won't even hear some of the claims and complaints that have been done. So people from the grassroots up simply have to reach out to each other, build the momentum, and talk to their media, talk to their political representatives, and just, you know, get... I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it anymore.
Okay.
I mean, we are at a really critical juncture here. I mean, I got to tell you a story. It's like this morning, there's a company called PR Newswire, right? Steve knows it well. It's been around for more than 50 years. I mean, I remember using that thing back in the 90s, right? So we tried to put out a press release just announcing this report. And some grundoon named Aaron at this PR Newswire said, you can't do that. And it's like, what? It's probably like the first time in their history they ever basically said we're not sending something out. I mean, that is Chinese Communist Party self-censorship, either out of fear or out of the fixes in because they don't like the policies of an economic nationalist named Donald J. Trump. I mean, it's insane. And Maggie, we just got to shout from the rooftops in an intelligent way and keep pointing to the evidence. There is evidence. This is wrong.
Okay.
Bad stuff happened.
We are going to commit here at the War Room. We're going to weaponize this report. Come hell or high water, we're going to weaponize the report. We've got the best audience, the most important audience in the world. You're the guys that are driving the arc of history. We're going to make this happen. Peter, thank you so much.
Hey, one last thing, Steve. If you think that Cuomo and Mel Airy would have me, if CNN's going to put me on to talk about it, you're dreaming.
No, we're going to work it.
CNN's not going to talk about it. Nobody's going to talk about it.
Okay, we're going to let us go to work, and we'll find out what we can do here. Peter Navarro.
Right.
Peter,
are you still doing great work out, Patriots.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right.
Every day, what somebody told me the other day, this show, so I said, this show is the easiest thing I've ever had to do. You got to show up in the morning, and you got to put Patriots on like John Fredericks, Patriots on like Peter Navarro, Patriots on like Jack Posobiec. This is the easiest thing. We got Raheem Kassam. Raheem, I'm going to ask you to hold over the break. We're going to have to jam in McLaughlin and everything. Just real quickly, tell us about the National Pulse, the story you have up, and I want people to go to the National Pulse. You've done a great job on this, too. Walk me through it.
Yeah, we've gone through the report since yesterday, pulling out the key matrices that are included in the report, and we've summarized them on the site as well, so you can see in visual format how all of this stuff breaks down, from the ballot mishandling, the protest fouls, the protection clause violations, the voting machine irregularities, and so on and so forth. Just breaking it down line by line, state by state, as it comes out of the report. You can check that out in its breakdown format, the National Pulse, and also, you know, this is obviously this incredibly important polling that's coming out at the same time, so we'll get into that also in the next segment.
Okay, next segment, Raheem's going to stay over and tee up John McLaughlin. John McLaughlin, the great pollster for President Trump, has done some amazing analysis. You got to see this, because we are winning. Right before we go to break, I want to reemphasize, National Pulse every day at 3 o'clock. You hear Raheem's voice. You got to go to the National Pulse site. They're doing an insanely incredible job. Just the News, John Solomon, the top investigative reporter around, he's doing incredible news. All part of the Real America Voice family. You got the War Room, you've got John Solomon's team, and you've got National Pulse. It's Real America's voice that's driving the conversation, right? A startup. It's been around a couple of years, but now coming to its own with the great Ben Berquam and the rest of the team. They do all the live coverage of the rallies, all the live coverage of everything, and they're going to be all over Georgia, okay? Short commercial break. Raheem's going to come back. We got John McLaughlin, Sean Parnell, Jack Posobiec. Wow, I want to see the next hour of the show. Okay, and of course, Fog City Midge. We'll return in just a moment. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the... Okay, I want to go back to Raheem Kassam. We got so much in this hour. We got Sean Parnell. We have John McLaughlin, the president's pollster, with just a startling polling coming out about how you're winning out there in this audience. We're driving the conversation, Jack Posobiec. So, Raheem, I want to go back. We got a minute or two. I want to go back. Give me your assessment. The National Pulse has done an amazing job. Steve Cortez is going to be all over this. Navarro has done something very unique. He's been able to pull, and by the way, other people have done great jobs. Don't get me wrong. There's been some amazing analysis out there. Revolver News has had it. But this is a guy that's a heavyweight. Right. He's the president's top advisor on trade. He's assistant to the president on trade. He's assistant to the president on basically reindustrializing America. He's been dead spot on about China, the most significant issue of the 21st century. Two decades ago, he understands and gets it. And he's a Harvard PhD and absolutely brilliant and a fighter. So, Raheem, go back. The National Pulse, what have you done? And tell me your assessment, because you see all of this stuff, not just the host of your own show, but the editor in chief of the National Pulse. Give me your assessment of the immaculate deception, the six key dimensions of election irregularities.
Some of these great patriots make your job. I feel very much the same way when you look at people like Phil Klein and Mark Serrano and the whole team over there at the Amistad Project, what they've been doing, Sean Parnell and the whole team that he's working with also. And this is no different. Peter Navarro has done the heavy lifting for the American public and summarized it so incredibly well. You know, the report is called The Immaculate Deception, but I actually think in the conclusion there was a better line, and that's the line we've pulled out as our headline. Theft by a thousand cuts. This goes back to what we've been saying for weeks and weeks about this thing, is that it doesn't just come down to one place and one type of fraud. That wouldn't have worked. It would have either been caught. They couldn't rely on that. You typically don't. I mean, when Lutfi Rahman was elected mayor in Tower Hamlets a decade ago, nearly, I think it was now, he didn't just use people at the polling stations intimidating others. He didn't just use what's called undue spiritual influence in the Muslim communities in East London. He didn't just use ballot fraud. You know, there were all sorts of different things that you put to work here so that one can fall back on the other, can fall back on the other. You have contingency on contingency on contingency, because where one may be caught by a local Republican poll watcher, and remember, the audience will remember that we were calling over and over again for people to register and sign up as official poll watchers. Now you know why we were doing that. Now that becomes abundantly clear as to why we needed to flood the zone in advance of the election to catch these things, and plenty of it has indeed been caught. It's comprehensively written up in this report. And the point is also about this, you know, this isn't a 300-page piece of litigation that it, you know, take forever to go through. This is something you can share with your friends and your family members and your colleagues and people who are still on the fence about this stuff. And the reason that's so important, the reason John McLaughlin and the polling that you're going to talk about next is so important, is the polling now then gives us an idea. And I know there are unreliable pollsters. There are also reliable pollsters, and there are reliable numbers. And it gives us an idea of who needs to be further convinced of this. And Navarro has done such an amazing job in putting together something that can be read by everybody, something that is easily shareable, something you can furnish to your friends and family and say, hey, okay, if you are in the category of a moderate, you need more convincing. If you are a woman, typically the polling indicates that you need more convincing. If you are an urban voter, typically the report polling shows that you need more convincing. But it also shows really good news about who is convinced that the fraud happened here. Why is that good news? Why is it good news that Americans have a lack of faith in their voting system right now? Because that means that people are waking up to the fact that this election was stolen. Hey, YouTube, official sources called it for Joe Biden. Fine, whatever, I understand. Just to come back to that point very briefly, you look at the breakdown on some of this. The majority of white voters, 53% to 37%, said there was fraud. The majority of Hispanics, 50% versus 42%, said there was fraud. Older voters, 55 years or older, said that there was fraud, 50% to against 42%. And younger voters, 43% said that there was fraud. So some ground to make up there. But you see now how the narrative is shifting. And that is ever, ever important, especially as we move towards January the 6th.
Okay, I want to go through that. We're going to have Sean Parnell. Then we're going to have John McLaughlin. We've got a packed hours, excuse me. Let's go back to the meltdown of Joe Scarborough today, of Seth Meyers calling us dead enders, of this screaming match in the United States Senate. Right, the world's most greatest deliberative body, with Ron Johnson, who's not a fire breather, calling a senator, you're a liar, and all you do is lie. I mean, it was so dramatic and so important about summarizing this moment. Where do you think you see, as you see the more evidence, as you see reports coming out, Raheem, as you're starting to see the math, right, where do you think we are, and are we moving the needle? Is this, because remember, we're about fights that matter. Can we win this fight?
Yeah, I think the needle is certainly moving in our favor on this. Let me say three things real quick. Number one, how incredible is it to watch Joe Scarborough accusing Rand Paul of fomenting violence when it's Rand Paul that's been on the receiving end of left-wing violence for so very long? Between being attacked, I think, what was it, by his neighbor, attacked outside the White House with his wife. This is who Joe Scarborough is now again putting you know, the crosshairs on. That's shocking to me. Hilarious to me is Seth Meyers talking about Newsmax, by the way. Newsmax probably getting, I think, a larger viewership than Seth Meyers gets now, but he continues to sneer at them. Well, keep sneering. Fine. They catch you, they overtake you, and then they'll beat you. And then thirdly, in terms of how important this is, I understand that for a lot of this audience, the hardcore of the hardcores, right? And I understand that we're growing beyond that. But the hardcore of the hardcores in the live chat and the people who comms with me all the time and email us and everything, they may feel a sense of frustration and say, hey, yeah, we get it. We don't need another report. But actually, a lot of what is going to happen over the next couple of weeks and months requires a broader audience to understand what happened here. And that's why Navarro's report and subsequent reports that are going to come out are so important. To get succinct and to get into a fashion whereby ordinary people can quickly pick it up, leap through it, understand it, and go, huh, you know what? I didn't see it like this. That's going to be ever important. As Joe Biden's approval ratings continue to flounder and fail, and Donald Trump's actually hold up, you're going to see a shift back to people going, actually, do you know what? I think we need to take another look at what happened at this election.
Okay, Raheem, amazing. You're doing great work at National Pulse. Just fantastic and just great work. Who's on the show today, and how can people get to your website? What are all your contact points on social media?
Yeah, well, of course, Peter Navarro will be joining us at 3 p.m. to get more into detail on this stuff as well. Kane will also be joining us from citizenfreepress.com. And I think we can do a quick programming note as well. I'm doing my Boxing Day special this year as well, so that's going to be great, too.
Boxing Day special, you're going to do you're doing one on War Room. I hope you do one on National Pulse. But the Boxing Day special is something we're very proud of, Raheem Ghassan. That'll be December 26th. Okay, we're going to go now. Do we have John McLaughlin up? Okay, we're going to go now to John McLaughlin, the president's pollster. just done incredible work. Sean Parnell followed that, then Jack Posobiec. John, by the way, thank you so much for coming on the show, but I want to get into the heart of your polling because it's pretty stunning. Walk through what you found out now with the American people about what their beliefs are about election fraud and that this being an illegal election. Walk us through summarize what your findings are.
By the way, I was like going back through old articles before the stuff I've done in the lead up to this, because you could see it coming. And on October 4th, I was on John Catsimatidis' radio show, and I wrote about it in Breitbart, where I said the Democrats were trying to steal this in various states because they were changing the election laws without the legislature voting on it. So you had, North Carolina, the governor tried to change and they extend the date and get rid of the signature verification. And the same thing going on in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, now we know Georgia. So we could see it coming. And there were those of us who were trying to warn people that this was going to happen. Those of us, like, you're an old veteran, and I'm a veteran. Our old friend Pat Cadell, who was the great Democrat pollster who worked for Jimmy Carter but then saw the light and became a Trump supporter, he used to always say that the Democrats are the crooked party and the Republicans are the stupid party. And we could see it coming that they were trying to suppress our vote with bad polls during the year. All year long, they had these exaggerated polls that were biased, that said the president was going to get crushed, like the Washington Post poll said he was going to lose Wisconsin by 17. And we were saying it was a dead even race. And so on Election Day, we took a post-election survey. Well, it wasn't really post-election. It was on Election Day. It was the day before and on Election Day. We do every 2 years, we'll do our survey, and we release it right after the election. But before the polls close, we do 1,000 voters across the country. And when we asked if the voters thought there was significant fraud, 30% on Election Day before the polls closed said there was going to be significant fraud. When we re-asked it in a Newsmax survey, we re-asked it on November 24th, released it right before Thanksgiving, and 35% said there was significant fraud. Well, we asked the question that we wrote about in our Newsmax blog, and it was a very simple question where we just stated, it's on our website at McLaughlinOnline.com, where we just asked them, do you believe there was election and voter fraud in the presidential election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump back in November? As of this week, 46% of all voters in the United States said yes. Only 45% said no. And it wasn't just the Trump voters. Trump voters said there was fraud 80 to 10. The Biden voters, 16%, said there was fraud. The Republicans said there was fraud. You'd expect that 75 to 15. Democrats, 22% said there was fraud. Independents, 41%. White voters, 50 to 37. Hispanics, 50 to 42, thought there was fraud. 12% of the blacks. If they were over 55, 50 to 42, they thought there was fraud. Under 55, it was less, though, 43%. Men believed there was fraud, 55-36. Women, 38%. If they live in a rural area, they said there was fraud, 55-38. If they live in a suburban area, it's 46-44. And if they live in an urban area, 40% said there was fraud. What's relevant about that is in the November 24th survey for Newsmax, we asked them, do they think that election fraud's a problem in big Democrat cities? 51% of all voters said it was a problem. So you've got a situation here where America, I have European clients and various democracies. I work for Bibi Netanyahu in Israel. I have clients calling up from Europe saying, aren't you guys supposed to be the most honest, best democracy in the world? And you have all this fraud that's stealing the election. And the American voters, as evidence comes out, no matter how big tech tries to suppress it, the media tries to suppress it, the Trump campaign made ads about this week, including there's the video, the infamous video of election night where the Fulton County Democrat or counters, they sent the Republicans home at 10:30 and then they broke out the ballots. and they started counting these mail-in ballots that were probably came in drop boxes after they got rid of the Trump voters, the Trump ballots. They made ads about those things. The Trump campaign cannot get those ads on multiple TV channels. It's on Newsmax. It's on One America.
Here's what I want to do. If you can stay over just for a couple of questions, we've got Sean Parnell, Jack Posobiec to go. We've got to get Sean Parnell. But, John, I want to ask you that question. What's most stunning about these numbers, and we will ask John McLaughlin now, but wait for his answer after the break, is 46% of the American people think it was illegal and illegitimate, 45% don't, and it's suppressed everywhere. It's not, remember, the AP, New York Times, all baseless. It's baseless. There's no evidence. That's their mantra. That's their propaganda. That's their information warfare. We're going to get back to the president's pollster, John McLaughlin, when we return in War and Pandemic. We also got Sean Parnell, the great American hero up in Pennsylvania, and Jack Posobiec, the Naval Intelligence Officer, all next on War and Pandemic. Our guest is John McLaughlin, the president's pollster. Shocking poll he's got up on his blog on Newsmax. We're putting it up everywhere. I want to make sure everybody in our audience pushes this poll. John, how has this happened? In the arc of the numbers from the 30%, 35%, now 46%, how has this happened when CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, this massive apparatus, The Economist, Financial Times, the only time they mention it, they say it's baseless, fraudulent, and Trump is a danger to democracy. We had a cold open this morning with Joe Scarborough and Seth Meyers, you know, in full meltdown. So how are these numbers shifting when you've got War Room, you've got Newsmax, you got these things, but they're small and tiny, powerful, when you consider the opposing apparatus? How are people getting this, and how are they changing their minds about this?
Well, for those, by the way, you, when Reagan was president, you were in the Navy, right? And you know,
yes,
I worked for Arthur Finkelstein, used to, you know, used to work for him. And Steve Forbes, my good friend, was the head of Radio Free Europe. And it's almost like Radio Free Europe under the Soviet Union, where we're being censored. And in spite of the fact that we have First Amendment rights, big tech is censoring us, but people are still getting out. They're sending it out by emails. They're talking about it. They're posting it on Facebook. You know, when I tweeted out those poll results yesterday or whatever, I got shadow banned. And it's like, you know, but somebody else took it and they put it in the Washington Examiner, and this one put it in there, and people are sending it around. So it's almost like, you know, it's like what goes on in communist China with Hong Kong. They still get out the information because it's the truth. People want to know the truth. And you've got these lawsuits. They keep on saying no evidence. The big media has no credibility. I mean, in the election, in both our previous polls, the majority of voters thought they were biased. They were biased and unfair during the election, and they thought they were biased and unfair to the president 4-1 over Biden.
Let me ask you the final question. This is not like a policy debate where, yeah, I don't like this guy, but he's going to get a honeymoon or anything like that. 46% of the American people, according to your poll, and this kind of jives with other things that are out there. We've said 43 to 48. 46%, 45% thinks it's fair, 46% think illegal, illegitimate. How does a guy even conceive of governing? When half of the nation basically thinks you're illegitimate and illegal, and that's without all the mainstream media. Now they're going to be forced to get into the Hunter Biden, you know, compromised by the Chinese Communist Party and James Biden and all of that with a special prosecutor. And now you're seeing CNN's being forced. The forcing function of the special prosecutor threat of it is forcing them to cover it. So it's only going to get, and they're going to understand how the Justice Department suppressed that and didn't come out with it. The reason Bill Barr got fired. Yes, not resigned, got fired. Okay? How can the Democrats in the establishment and the Wall Street guys want to be back in business with China? What is in their mind that they think that with almost half, and it'll be over half very shortly, of the American people thinking it's not about policy differences, you're illegitimate and you're illegal, that Biden could ever even conceive of trying to govern?
Well, credit Donald Trump, first of all, for the president, because anybody else would have folded. And the media is trying to sandbag him because they want him to concede. Because if he concedes, we lose standing on the fraud cases. Because the president and I spoke a while ago about this, and I was like, you can't concede. We have to get this evidence out there. And there are lawsuits from Estab Project at the Thomas More site, hundreds of thousands of fraudulent voters in Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I mean, Arizona, Nevada, they have it. And as the evidence gets out there and people see it for themselves, even though the Supreme Court won't hear it yet or the these other courts don't want to hear it, they're not saying the evidence isn't true. And the scary part is we got a January 5th election with these drop boxes. By the way, the Democrats put this out there. Zuckerberg funded $400 million. He privatized the mail-in game where these drop boxes that aren't secure, that are prone to fraud. And David Plouffe put it out. Barack Obama's campaign manager works for him, put it in a book that they published last March. And this was coming all along. They were going to try to steal the election with these drop boxes and mail-in ballots. And they're still there today in Georgia. And, you know, we've got to beat them. If we don't beat them, we're going to lose our democracy and our freedom. And there's really bad people. But Donald Trump's standing up to them.
Oh, he's never going to concede because the thing was stolen. Okay, John, how do people get access to you? The Newsmax blog, your Twitter, all of it. You got to start following John McLaughlin closely. How do they get access to you?
Well, we have this poll is up on our website on McLaughlinOnline.com. That's McLaughlinOnline.com. The poll is up there. We publish it. We publish these polls like every month. You know that you've been a good customer at times where you subscribed to these polls. So
McLaughlin's the best. He's the best.
So, well,
okay. What's your Twitter handle? What's your parlor?
The Twitter handle is JMCGHLN. It's the same in Parler. So at J, I just took the consonants out of my name. Let's say JMCGHLN.
Okay, a true Irishman. Okay, McLaughlin, thank you very much. Pulse to the president. Great work. You're a patriot. And working for Arthur Finkelstein, you were trained by a real warrior, Finkelstein. What a hammer that guy was. Okay.
Well,
want to go to Sean Parnell now. Sean Parnell now, another American hero, was the platoon leader. Got to read Outlaw Platoon, a great book. His story about his platoon that I think did the longest deployment in eastern Afghanistan, which was hell on earth. So he's been in tough fights before. Parnell, brother, before we get to Pennsylvania and your lawsuit, which is, I think, is one of the best lawsuits out there, pull the camera back for a second. Because you know Trump, you know the Trump movement, you've seen the polling, you've seen what's happening in Pennsylvania throughout the country. Where do you think we stand right now in this fight? What should our audience be focused on right now?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, there are people like the mainstream media and a lot of these journalists out there pushing the idea that there's no voter fraud. Even in some of these Senate hearings, this is the safest election in our history. No voter fraud whatsoever. The fact of the matter is that there's voter fraud all around us. It's right in front of our face. And I would, you know, the mainstream media and a lot of these journalists and certainly big tech are making it seem like, you know, we are conspiracy theorists for simply thinking critically about an election and looking at all of these different instances of voter fraud all around us. Steve, I would say that the only conspiracy theory that exists today, right now, is that there was no voter fraud in this election. And I want to talk about my race a little bit, Steve. I want to break some news on your show here.
Sure.
You know, for your viewers and your listeners, on election night here in Western Pennsylvania, I ran for Congress in PA 17. It's probably one of the biggest swing districts in the country. It was an absolutely must-win district for the president in order to win the state of Pennsylvania. So Allegheny County, Beaver County, a small portion of Butler County, the president won that district by 10,000 votes in 2016. It's an R+2, so it's imminently winnable. I ran for Congress in that district. And on election night, this is important. We were up by 17 points on election night. When they stopped counting votes in Allegheny County, and by the way, it was a total surprise to everybody that they stopped counting votes in Allegheny County on election night at about midnight. We were up by tens of thousands of votes. We knew exactly how many mail-in ballots were left to count, right? Democrat, Republican, independent, and other. Even if, you know, Connor Lamb got the votes that he was supposed to get, I got the votes that I was supposed to get, and we split independents, even 70-30. I was still going to have about a 13,200 plus vote margin of victory. News outlets called it the following day. Even Leader McCarthy called me to congratulate me. And late at night, the day after Election Day, there were two separate ballot dumps, one of 4,000 votes and one of 9,000 votes. Interestingly enough, that tally adds right up to 13,000, which was supposed to be my margin of victory. Those two ballot dumps happened almost exclusively for Joe Biden and Connor Lamb. 20 minutes later, my opponent scampers out to the podium and declares victory. Now, there are still 25,000 plus provisional ballots left to count. And my staff and I were watching this unfold and thinking, like, well, how in God's name is he out there declaring victory? There's still 25,000 ballots left to count, unless he knows something that we don't. And so we have been asking Allegheny County where these absentee ballots, these 13,000 absentee ballots came from, with, by the way, no, zero chain of custody in our mind, where'd they come from? And we haven't gotten an answer for over 5 weeks. Well, last week, Allegheny County answered a reporter who had asked a question. They never answered us, but they had answered a reporter. And you know what their response was, Steve? Sean Parnell had a representative at the election center and who signed out at 6:58 p.m. So he left before the work was completed. Now, the question was, they didn't actually answer our question. The question was, where did these 13,000 ballots come from? So it's basically what Allegheny County did. It's basically like this: a police officer asking a shoplifter, "Hey, sir, did you steal those groceries?" And the shoplifter saying, "Well, the cashier was off work." So look, there is election. There's just what I've seen all around us in this race. 3 months before my race, Allegheny County sent out 28,000 ballots to the wrong address. We've seen ballots that have come directly from nursing homes.
Sean, can you hang over for the next segment? But I just got a question.
Sure.
You got about 30 seconds to answer, and we'll keep you over the break. How did Pennsylvania certify this election when there's massive questions in Allegheny County about your race? How did this thing get so certified? And, you know, Shapiro's in our grill every day smirking and mocking you that, oh, no, this is certified, move along here, nothing to see here.
Yeah, I think that when you watch how Democrats respond to things, specifically the radical left, watch what they say, and typically what they say is the opposite. So, hey, nothing to see here, this election was free and fair. That's a pretty good indication that it probably wasn't.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break and return with the hero, Sean Parnell, in a moment.
War Room, Pandemic, with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. We have actually a war hero. Sean Parnell led the platoon, I think, on the longest deployment in eastern Afghanistan, which is the crucible of our efforts in Afghanistan. Sean, I think you were awarded 2 Bronze Stars, 1 for valor. I have a question for you. When you were in Afghanistan those years, and you were particularly on that extended deployment that's outlined in the book Outlaw Platoon, which everybody ought to get and everybody ought to read, the true life version of that. When you were over there, did it ever come in your mind when you're fighting for those people to try to have to stand up a democracy and have First Amendment rights and freedom of religion and all that, which a lot of people in our country don't support us being everywhere, but when you're there and serving your country. Did you ever envision that you would be back in the United States one day as a congressional candidate and to have virtually a Chinese firewall of suppression of your speech and the outright theft of an election where you can't get to the bottom of it? Did it ever occur to you in Afghanistan, defending your country on a foreign battlefield, that this would ever happen back in Western Pennsylvania?
So I you're right. I was in Afghanistan, and in 2006, there was an election in Afghanistan, and part of our job was to secure that election and protect it. I never thought in a million years that elections in Afghanistan would be less corrupt than elections here in the States. And so, you know, Steve, running for political office was never in the cards for me. You know, write books for a living, do charity work for a living. And our mission in Afghanistan was real simple back then, was to find Osama bin Laden, but, you know, the president called me out to run for Congress. You know that, right? I wasn't even at the event where he called me. I called me out in a speech to run. So I turned my life upside down and got in the race. And so I am, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm certainly running with an R after my name, but my allegiance is to the people of this great country, to the Constitution of this great country. So to your point, to your question, I will never stop fighting for this country, for the Constitution. When you leave the military, that oath doesn't expire. And the truth of the matter is I'm fighting for every single person here in this country and free and fair elections here in this country. So my allegiance doesn't, you know, I don't swear an oath to the Republican Party. I didn't swear an oath to the Democratic Party. You know, I don't seek to find the Republican answer or the Democrat answer to the problems that we face today. I seek to find the right answers, the right answers for the people to make sure that every person in this country is protected and that we can have faith that our elections are indeed free and fair. And in Afghanistan, I'm telling you, in 2006, they were. In 2020 here in the United States of America, you know, they weren't. And I'm sad to say it. And we've got to fight like hell with every fiber of our being to make sure that the American people get answers on 2020 and every election moving forward.
Okay, real quick, you've got this lawsuit, and we'll get to that at some other time with Mike Kelly. It's going up. You're back into court. But to go back to the breaking news you've got from Allegheny County, my phone is blowing up. Because people look at you as an American hero. What is specifically going on, and what are you doing in your campaign and others doing to get to the bottom of the questions that remain about your race against Connor Lamb?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, we're in the fight every day. We're in the trenches every day. We have found, you know, you talked about Zuckerberg money on your phone. Well, we were ground zero for that. Zuckerberg's money funded remote satellite voting facilities. They funded the drop boxes. We had people, campaign observers and representatives there 3 weeks before Election Day watching the Democrats stuff multiple ballots in those drop boxes. We saw it with our own two eyes. We had ballot harvesting in nursing homes. I've seen the ballots. The handwriting is the same and signatures appear to be forged. You had Allegheny County sending out 28,000 ballots to incorrect addresses. You had Republicans showing up in mass on Election Day, over 200 plus thousand Republicans showing up on Election Day. You know, a percentage of those voters showed up and said, hey, you already voted by mail and had to vote provisional. We had people, we have heard rumors here in Western Pennsylvania about people voting twice. It was a nightmare. And here's the thing. Steve, it's not a conspiracy theory to have questions about this election and potential fraud. This is the first time Pennsylvania has used a universal mail-in system. And so, of course, there are going to be kinks that need to be worked out. So we're fighting every day on the front lines of this to make sure that people can have faith in our elections moving forward.
Okay.
Because right now,
here's what I'm saying. Okay, the book, his new book is One True Patriot. Want to get the cover up there? You got to go get this book. Give it to somebody you know or love for Christmas. It's his work of fiction, but you got to read that. However, also, particularly for the veterans and particularly for people that have young men, because if you want somebody to emulate, if you want your kids to emulate somebody, Sean Parnell's a pretty good guy to point them to. Okay? Read Outlaw Platoon, and it'll show you. You know, my daughter's a West Point grad. She was in Iraq with the 101st. It'll show you what these people, what these kids, these young people serving the United States of America, the commitment and what they have to go through. His new book is One True Patriot. Now, Sean, I know you're funding this out of your own pocket. How do people go, if they so desire to support your efforts on the legal efforts, how do they go there? And then what's your Twitter? What are all the social media contacts they can get you on?
Yeah, my website is seanforcongress.co. We've got an election defense fund, and we're using the money wisely. Like you said, we've got a case in front of the Supreme Court right now. We petitioned for certiorari on that for them to hear our case on the merits. So we're fighting to make sure that elections are free and fair. You can find me on Twitter at Sean Parnell USA and Parler under the same. And Steve, you know, I have to say, you know, I appreciate the kind words that you give me on the show, but, you know, I really was no hero. I was really lucky to serve with heroes who taught, coached, and mentored me every step of the way as a young lieutenant in Afghanistan. And I just wanted to thank you for the platform that you give me and the platform that you give my soldiers and making sure that their legacy is passed on from one generation to the next. And so thank you very much for the time and platform to talk on your show.
Okay, brother. Sean Parnell from Western Pennsylvania. Thank you. programming note, Steve Cortez, the great Steve Cortez, is going to be on the show tomorrow. And Steve Cortez has got his economic analysis, what he's talking about, populism, economic nationalism. But also, Steve Cortez is all over the Immaculate Deception, the Peter Navarro. He's going to be doing his chalk talks on that, all of it. We're going to have Cortez tomorrow. Special, special episode today at 5 o'clock. Make sure you tune in. Maggie Vandenberg, Stephen K. Bannon from The War Room. Thank you very much. We'll see you at 5 o'clock. It's all started, everything's begun, and you are over. 'Cause we're taking